Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. On January 8, 2007, something extraordinary happened. From Italy to London, to New York City, across Ohio to Nashville, then to Austin and Dallas, then across New Mexico to the Southern California coast, and all the way over to Australia, the earth farted, killing birds and sickening people in the vicinity. This hit the morning news with reports from New York City, a suspected gas leak which was never located. The official explanation, days later, New Jersey stinks. And I quote, "Mysterious gas odor in New York City and Jersey City. The odor of natural gas was reported across Midtown Manhattan, prompting hundreds of calls to emergency workers. A very similar smell was also reported in downtown Jersey City. Con Edison officials said they were investigating the source of the leak. The New York City Transit Authority is telling us the F station at West 23rd Street and 6th Avenue has been evacuated as a precaution. Past train service has been temporarily suspended between 33rd Street and Journal Square and 33rd Street and Hoboken due to emergency activity. About a dozen people were taken to hospitals complaining of difficulty breathing." And from another, "Natural gas smell frightens Manhattan." Con Edison, the New York City power company, was quoted as saying it had detected no leaks in its system, but it said it was checking all of its lines. "The smell is there. We don't know the source of it," New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg said at a news conference. End of the quotes. The clues that this was not a gas leak, but methane from the earth were there, however, in marine reports. Tankers were having their methane alarms go off, offshore from New York City, but were never able to detect any leaks on board. The methane was coming from the seafloor. And I quote, "The environmental surge you're not hearing anything about. According to U.S. marine industry sources, tanker captains are reporting an increase in onboard alarms from hazard sensors designed to detect hydrocarbon gas leaks, and specifically, methane leaks. However, the leaks are not emanating from cargo holds or pump rooms, but from continental shelves venting increasing amounts of trapped methane into the atmosphere. Another location experiencing increased venting is the Santa Barbara Channel on the California coast." End of the quote. Reports of gas smells, in some cases claimed to be gas leaks, came in from across the nation. Note the date in every case, January 8, 2007. From Nashville, Tennessee, Charlotte Pike opened after methane gas leak. Officials have reopened Charlotte Pike. The road was closed Monday after a gas leak. Charlotte Pike was closed as methane gas leaked into the air. Hazmat and fire crews were called out as a precaution. NES was also on the scene. No evacuations were ordered. It was the second time in a month that construction crews have hit a gas line. Mobile, Alabama. Ruptured gas line in downtown Mobile repaired. Mobile Fire and Rescue tells Fox 10 News a gas line leak at the RSA Tower has been stopped. Streets have reopened and all businesses involved are also open again. No one was injured. Blue Springs, Missouri. Gas leak forces evacuation in Blue Springs. A gas leak and small explosion prompted police to evacuate about 50 homes and a preschool in downtown Blue Springs on Monday afternoon. Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Part of Rio Rancho was under voluntary evacuation order. The Rio Rancho Department of Public Safety has called a voluntary evacuation for part of the city because of a very large gas main break. Public Service Company of New Mexico crews told Rio Rancho DPS that it will be some time before everything is cleared out. The break happened around 11:30 a.m. Half Moon Bay, California. Gas leak forces evacuations on Oak Avenue. Mandatory evacuations are underway for residences on Oak Avenue in Half Moon Bay following reports of a broken gas main. It was not immediately clear that when the leak would be fixed or when residents would return to their home. Oxnard, California. Ruptured SoCal natural gas line forces freeway closure. Southern California gas crews are fixing a ruptured 4-inch natural gas line adjacent to the 101 Ventura Freeway near Oxnard. A private contractor was digging and doing some construction around 11 a.m. and accidentally hit the line, causing a leak. End of the quotes. Other signs that the earth was pulling apart, the silent adjustment the stretch zone is famous for, were water main breaks and factory explosions. All of this continues on the same day, January 8, 2007. Rochester, New York. Overnight flow adjustments break 4 water mains. Broken water mains that closed at least 4 roads in Rochester this morning have been repaired. Agency workers were doing some flow adjustments. As a result, water pressure was higher than normal and caused several failures at weak points in the system. Houston, Texas. Leak at Houston area plant keeps kids in school. A Houston suburb lifted its shelter warning and said it was safe for residents to go outside Monday afternoon, a little more than an hour after white smoke or vapor vented from an industrial plant. It was unclear whether the apparent leak was coming from the facility or from a vehicle at the facility. End of the quotes. In Australia, a parallel emergency to what had occurred in New York City, people sickened by a gas leak which was never located and taken to a hospital. Perth, Australia, and I quote, "Gas fears empty shopping mall. The center on the corner of Queen and Cantonment Streets was promptly evacuated as FESA sought to determine the cause of the symptoms, but none had been found. Whatever it was must have dispersed really quickly. Possible causes include leaking chemical fuel or equipment. 3 St. John ambulances treated at least 19 patients for minor injuries, taking 4 of them to hospital." End of the quotes. Where 19 people were taken to hospital in Perth, Australia, there were also a dozen people taken to hospital in New York City on this day, January 8, 2007. A temporary illness for humans, but whatever this gas smell was, it was killing birds. And I quote, "Austin, Texas. Downtown okay after dead bird scare. Health officials say dozens of dead birds discovered Monday along Congress Avenue in downtown Austin posed no health risk to the public. Air quality tests conducted at the site where the 63 dead pigeons, grackles, and sparrows were found have come back negative." And from another, Perth, Australia. Thousands of birds fall from sky over town. Thousands of birds have fallen from the skies over Esperanza, and no one knows why. Is it an illness, toxins, or a natural phenomenon? A string of autopsies in Perth have shed no light on the mystery. End of the quotes. Not all these issues hit the news, but they did hit the message boards. And I quote from the Godlike Production message board. "I was taking some back roads home today, and as I drove by a pond along side roads, I noticed that it was bubbling. I've driven by this pond many times over the past 12 years that I've lived in this area, and I have never seen it do this before. I live in central Iowa." And from another, "Smells like gas in Dallas, too. I smell it here in Grand Prairie, Texas, also. I'm in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. The air really reeks." And from another, "Put Cleveland, Ohio on the map for weird gas leaks." End of the quotes from Godlike Production. And elsewhere in the world, in Europe, same day, January 8, 2007, more suspected gas leaks in Italy and the UK. And I quote, Bologna, Italy. In Bologna, 100 people were evacuated for precaution for a gas tube leak this late evening. This afternoon happened a quake of 3.7 Richter here. In December, nearby exploded a gas tube and killed 5 people. In Genoa, also, residents of a palace were evacuated for a gas tube leak. And from another, London, England, tube station shut after gas leak. Services on the Hammersmith and City Tube Line has been partly suspended due to a gas leak. Hammersmith Underground Station, which is on the Hammersmith and City Line, has been closed since 3:40. An investigation is underway. End of the quotes. Note in most cases, no gas leak was found. Note that in most of these reports from around the world, no gas leak was ever located. In particular, the big one in New York City and in the mall at Perth, Australia, where people were sickened, no gas leak was ever located. What did the Zetas have to say about this remarkable day when it was clear that plate adjustments from Europe to the North American continent to Australia had occurred? And I quote from Zeta Talk Earth Farts, written the very next morning, January 9th, 2007. We have detailed from the start of Zeta Talk in 1995 the effect of Planet X on the Earth where land would be stretched, what's called the stretch zone. If compression occurs around the Pacific Ring of Fire, then stretching must likewise occur in other areas. The African Rift Valley is pulling apart dramatically in these last couple years, creating great crevasses in the Afar Triangle there. The St. Lawrence Seaway is likewise pulling apart, creating power outages in the region from breaks at the Niagara Power Station and seismic distress in the Black Hills, which become rumpled as the land spreads apart along the seaway. Florida is being pulled down, as are the western regions of Great Britain, a fact dealt with as rising seas when in fact these rising seas are not registered universally elsewhere. The land is sinking there. London has extreme problems with their tube lines derailing, as do rail lines along the eastern coast of the U.S. We've explained in great detail that the stretch zone does not register great quakes when rock layers pull apart and sink, as this is a silent earth change. Nancy has carefully documented breaking water and gas mains, derailing trains, dislocating bridge abutments, mining accidents, and outbreaks of factory explosions, showing that these have occurred in rashes on occasion when the rock layers pull apart. None of this, of course, in the media, though the pattern is obvious. As one of the symptoms of the Earth changes caused by the influence of Planet X on the hapless Earth, this is on the ban list in the media. Don't talk about this except to treat it as a local event. Don't do pattern analysis. Don't show the big picture. It's all blamed on global warming, or a flare on the sun, on periodic climate changes that happen naturally to the Earth. Anything but admit the monster planet shrouded in a dust cloud, creeping past the sun and heading toward the Earth. In September-October of 2005, a smell of rotten eggs was sensed from L.A. to Thunder Bay, on Lake Superior to the New England states, and throughout the southeastern U.S. We explained at that time that this was due to rock layers being pulled apart, releasing gas from moldering vegetation trapped during the prior pole shifts, when rock layers were jerked about, trapping vegetation. We explained in March of 2002 that black water off the coast of Florida was caused by this phenomenon. Do these fumes cause people to sicken and birds to die? Mining operations of old had what they called the canary in a birdcage, to warn the miners of methane gas leaks. Birds are very sensitive to these fumes and die, and this is indeed what happened in Austin, Texas. Were it not for the explosions associated with gas leaks, it would be common knowledge that gas leaks sicken, as the body was not structured to breathe such air for long. Why were these earth farts and moving ground experienced from Italy and the UK, throughout the US, and even in Australia, all seemingly simultaneously? We've explained that the plates of the globe have been loosened up, the rock fingers holding them firmly against one another broken off, so a fluidity has resulted. A major adjustment in one place thus can be translated to an adjustment elsewhere, simultaneously. Italy is on fault lines. London is being stretched. Australia is being snapped in two to some extent, as India is being plunged under the Himalayas while Australia and New Zealand rise. Where Australia will not actually break in two, at the point where the weight of the land rise to the east puts stress on the continent, there are adjustments, and this line across Australia will thus have rock layer adjustments, thus the stretch stench. But the major incidences of this stretch episode were felt across the U.S., primarily in New York City. Why was this? We've mentioned that the point where sinking land in the southeastern part of the U.S. is pulling the continent down, and the point where the rising New England land is bobbing up will be around Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. New England rises because it's free from attachments as the seaway splits. It is free to bob up, as would be its natural state if not attached along the seaway and to point south along the eastern seaboard. As with the continent of Australia, the weight of this rising land puts stress at the snap point, not to the point of snapping the land apart, but adjustments will be made. New England is due to rise 450 feet, all told, where the southeastern U.S. will drop by 150 feet. No minor adjustments. But primarily the North American continent is being stressed due to a diagonal pull, where the New England states are moving east during the normal rotation of the Earth, but the southwestern portions of the continent near Mexico are being held back. This Earth tour, which we detailed in May 2004, is due to tugging the South Pole by Planet X. Is due to tugging on the South Pole by Planet X, a daily affair as the live seismographs show. This Earth torque was one of the primary reasons for the massive 9.5 quake in Sumatra on December 26, 2004, popping that plate up. This Earth torque will be the cause of continuing adjustments on the New Madrid fault line in the U.S., as we have likewise detailed recently. Mining accidents, when they have occurred in the U.S. in late 2005, occurred along a line from Ontario to Mexico. Look at these earth fart incidences occurring on January 8, 2007. New York City, across to Ohio and Nashville and Missouri and Texas. Does this not line up with the mining incidents following the Sabo mine incidents in late 2005? From New England to Mexico, that line. This is where the ground is being pulled diagonally, with land west of the Mississippi going southwest and land east of the Mississippi going northeast. Such a diagonal pull certainly exposes rotting vegetation trapped between rock layers to the air. The incidences along the California coast are due to reaction to the changes to the east, as the fault line along the west coast will certainly have to adjust in turn. However, the California adjustments are not caused by compression during these times, but due to adjustments to the new position of Mexico to the south. End of the quote from Zeta Talks. Following this adjustment on January 8th, affecting a swath from Italy through Britain, across the U.S. and down to Australia, there were a couple of significant 8-plus Richter quakes in Asia. One occurred in Uzbekistan on January 9th, and the other offshore from Japan on January 13th. What is most significant is that the USGS chose to ignore the quake in Uzbekistan, leaving it out of their databases altogether. And I quote, "Strong quake hits Uzbekistan. A powerful earthquake rocked mountainous southeast Uzbekistan overnight," the RIA Novosti news agency reported, quoting emergency ministry officials. "Tremors of up to 8 on the Richter scale were registered some 200 kilometers or 120 miles southeast of Tashkent. No casualties or damages were reported." This from the French unit of AP. The French Associated Press reported the Uzbekistan quake. Who better to know what the Richters were than the Russians? Are there other signs that an 8-plus occurred and was omitted? There are indeed. There was a cluster of quakes, 5 to 6 Richter, 4 of them occurring within seconds of each other in the same location in Tajikistan. Such clusters always imply a larger quake has occurred in their midst. Where the USGS has recently been muzzled, and the USGS long known to emit quakes that could drop from their databases without much fuss, such as quakes occurring in remote places or underwater, and where the USGS has long been known to drop the Richter of quakes regularly so that statistics drawn from their databases would look normal, disguising the increase in Richter and the intensity occurring. They have never been known to drop an 8-plus Richter quake. The second quake, an 8.2 offshore Japan, could not be omitted as it occurred where it affected a highly populated area. And I quote, "Tsunami fears ease hours after strong quake. Tsunami alerts issued for the Pacific Basin due to the massive underwater earthquakes were lifted hours later Saturday when only minor surges resulted. The alerts have been issued for Japan and a broad area surrounding the Pacific Ocean, including Hawaii and Alaska, after the quake hit east of the Kuril Islands. The trembler had a preliminary magnitude of 8.2, the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center bulletin said." End of the quote. The Zetas stated that mankind should expect more of these increased Richter quakes as the hour of the polar shift approaches. And I quote from some Zeta talk written on January 13th, after the 8.2 quake in Japan. "As we mentioned some time ago, the plates have loosened up, rock fingers holding them where they abut each other, snapping off for over a year to the extent that they are smooth along their edges rather than snagged. Still, they rest against each other in the main, where they have been because niches and notches fit into one another. But when strong forces, such as the increasing wobble, force them out of their niches and notches, they move readily to new positions. What does this mean for the world going forward? Stronger quakes, more frequently, with the Atlantic allowed to stretch and consequent catastrophes in the stretch zone, and with the Pacific allowed to compress with a more active ring of fire and consequent volcanic eruptions. This time, when the plates were loosened up so they could move more readily, was foreseen from the start of 2006. A pattern was emerging where this or that part of the globe would turn black on the live seismographs, as though something dramatic were happening just there, not worldwide. As though rock fingers holding fault lines together were snapping, one by one. There was also an increase in general activity, wobbles, and a general restlessness showing up on the live seismographs that did not seem to go away. Comparing the last 3 months of 2006, the period from September 15th to December 15th, to that a year earlier, in 2005, there was a significant increase in quakes over Richter 6. Even given the USGS tendency to dumb down the Richter of quakes to make it look, statistically, as though nothing were going on. There were 31 quakes during that time period in 2005, compared to 46 in 2006, a 50% increase. In particular, the North American continent had begun to look very unstable, the Black Hills wobbly on a daily basis. On December 15, 2006, the Zetas were asked to comment on this changed quake landscape. And I quote from ZetaTalk, "Quickening Quakes. We have mentioned that the steady approach of Planet X, as it slings toward the hapless Earth trapped in front of it, will only increase the pace and severity of Earth changes such as earthquakes, volcanic activity, tears in the stretch zone, and the pending diagonal rip of the North American continent. Where such activity was more lineal in years past, it will become exponential at some point, and this turning point has already arrived. Several factors add to the stress Planet X is experiencing. The closer Planet X comes, the more intense the Earth wobble becomes. The intensity of the magnetic field surrounding Planet X increasingly engages the magnetic field of Earth, and as these two magnetic plates are not aligned with each other at present, the stress is obviously going to be visited on the lesser planet, Earth. As we have explained, the Earth wobble is caused primarily by the north pole of Earth being pushed away when it presents during the daily rotation of Earth. The geographic and magnetic poles of Earth do not align, so this presentation occurs when the land above Alaska and eastern Siberia are facing the sun each day. This causes the wobble to wobble like a spinning top about to slow down and fall onto its side. Seen from above the North Pole, this would look like a figure eight, well documented by Nancy and friends from around the world, to a sunrise or sunset with an azimuth too far north or south. The wobble pattern does not change as it intensifies. It increases in force and scope. The push is stronger and faster, and it swings back likewise stronger and faster. And the degree of the wobble, how far the Earth swings, will steadily increase. The Earth wobble is palpable, measurable, and can be documented to show the figure eight, as Nancy has done. It also affects weather, making temperature swings increasingly more extreme. We have predicted that the seasons will almost seem to blend into one another before the pole shift arrives, and this trend will increase. The reason for the weather wobbles, as we have called them, is the Earth moving under its mantle of air. What is a storm or high winds, if not air moving over the Earth rapidly? If the Earth moves under the air, the effect is the same. Sudden high winds, more intense winds, tornadoes outside of where normally expected, all of these will increasingly occur. Matters such as the cold, warm air masses, arriving where not expected and lingering longer than expected, will occur. If the wobble pushes a spot on the Earth under a high-pressure air mass and then wobbles back, it will tend to drag that high-pressure air along with it, especially if the return spot is dealing with low pressure. If both spots, the wobble and the return, are high pressure, this pressure builds, creating the potential for high winds releasing this pressure outside of what normal weather patterns would produce. The wobble likewise can and does interfere with flow patterns that deliver rain inland, as is occurring in Australia. This can cut both ways, with drought and deluge increasing, as we predicted in 1995. Beyond the Earth wobble, stress on the Earth's crust is occurring because the Earth is being battered by other planets, caught in what we call the cup, the eddy flow of particles coming around Planet X from the Sun, creating strong flow at the sides in a pincer-like manner, and roiling back into this cup, such that planets such as Earth, Venus, and the Dark Twin are caught in this cup and cannot proceed in their orbits. They are trapped. If the Earth wobble is causing weather wobbles, it's not particularly stressful on the crust, as the Earth as a whole is moving back and forth. The stress on the crust increases as the wobble increases in force, of course, as at the turnaround point the Earth is stopped and then pushed in the opposite direction. But as this moves like a figure eight, it is more like going around a curve than hitting a wall and bouncing off this wall. But what occurs when several planets caught in the cup start bouncing off each other, like balls trapped in a container being rattled? As Planet X approaches, the cup tightens, as at a distance the particle flows come around its side could disperse, but when near, these flows are intense and thus pinching the hapless planets in a tighter and tighter pinch. The sweeping arms of the Sun, occurring several times a year, and the reasons for all the planets in the solar system moving obediently in a counterclockwise orbit around the Sun, did not cause such a clash until the Dark Twin came up behind the Earth, as it has. Stalled in her orbit, Earth found her Dark Twin promptly coming up behind her in 2004, creating a ricochet effect during the sweeps. But the effect of having three planets crowded into the cup, in front of an increasingly looming and large Planet X, is more than a bump. It has a rattling effect, bumping back and forth. It is this effect that Nancy has noticed on the live seismographs. So the approach of Planet X is causing an Earth wobble, weather wobbles, and now an almost continuous rattling effect because the cup is tightening and the planets caught in the cup rattling about in the cup. But the stress on the Earth crust as the monster Planet X approaches is primarily due to the tugging on the Atlantic Rift, a phenomenon which expressed itself in early 2003. The Atlantic Rift is fresh magma, hardened mostly during prior pole shifts when the Atlantic was ripped apart, and thus is essentially a magnet on the surface of the Earth. As we have explained, magnets like to stay aligned with each other, sharing their magnetic fields in a larger field, or at least not in contention with each other. In these matters, the larger bully dominates, and between the Earth and Planet X, this is most certainly the monster Planet X. This demand that the Earth align with Planet X is certainly only going to increase as Planet X looms closer, ultimately resulting in a stopped rotation for almost a week prior to the pole shift. The tugging on the Atlantic Rift occurs essentially at the face and dark points, when the Atlantic Rift is either facing Planet X and the Sun or in opposition. This is why intense global quakes tend to register at 0 UTC or at 12 UTC. The effect of this twice daily tugging is to pull the Atlantic apart and to compress the Pacific, as when the Atlantic Rift is in the face position at noon UTC and the Earth's rotation continues, thus pulling the Atlantic apart. Likewise, a stalled Atlantic Rift is creating a pileup behind it in the Pacific. The effect on the Earth's plates is to increase continental drift, or rip as we prefer to call it. And after months and years of this type of tugging, the edges of the plates have worn smooth, rock fingers breaking off, so rapid and dramatic movements of the plates are now possible. What will happen to the Earth, wobbling in an increasingly forceful figure 8, and being jerked back by a twice daily tug on the Atlantic Rift, and body slammed by the other planets in the cup when they come too close, invoking the gravity of the repulsion force? Certainly her plates will move, and where this occurs in subduction zones, jolting quakes and volcanic activity will follow. And where this occurs in stretch zones, the sinking and thinning ground will create chaos for cities or infrastructure above, and will also allow magma to bubble up to the surface. The quakes are quickening. End of the quote from Zetatok. During this same time frame, early January 2007, evidence of the tail of Planet X turning toward the Earth showed up in increasing meteors and fireballs from around the world. In South Africa, and I quote, "A strange object on an orange cloud, singing like a million turbines, hitting the Earth with a bang. A bright object plunged from the clouds to the Earth at a terrible speed and hit the ground with an almighty bang. It looked like Halley's Comet round in the front with an orange-red tail following behind." This date of January 3, 2007. And in Colorado, possible meteor or space junk seen all over the region. The news was flooded with calls from viewers. It appears to have been either space junk or a large meteor falling from north to south in the western part of the city. News spoke with a representative at the Air Force Space Command who said they are analyzing the data and hope to have some official word. They believe it could have been a meteor or space junk. The Air Force Command tracks space junk in all items entering the atmosphere. Viewers from all over the region have been calling, some as far away as Kansas, Nebraska, and Wyoming, to report their sightings. And this also on January 4th. The brilliant streak of light that raced across the sky west of Denver was a Russian rocket re-entering the atmosphere, NORAD and the U.S. Northern Command reported. The military agencies said that an SL-4 rocket body re-entered the atmosphere over Colorado and Wyoming. And this on January 5th. From Russia, the Russians denying this statement. Report: Russian specialists study rocket debris sighting over U.S. The rocket's pieces that allegedly fell on U.S. territory cannot be part of Russia's Fregat upper stage that placed France's Karat satellite into orbit on December 27th. Specialists of the Lavochkin Research and Development Center, where the Fregat upper stage was manufactured, said they know the area where Fregat was dumped for certain. It was dumped into the Pacific Ocean on December 27th. End of the quote. In New Jersey, a metal-heavy rock crashed through the roof of a home. Not the claimed Russian space debris either. And I quote, "Mysterious object crashes through roof." This on January 4th, 2007. Authorities were trying to identify a mysterious metallic object that crashed through the roof of a house in eastern New Jersey. The metal object had punched a hole in the roof of a single-family, two-story home, damaged tiles on a bathroom floor, then bounced, sticking into a wall. The object was heavier than the usual metal object of its size. No radioactivity was detected. The Federal Aviation Administration, which sent investigators to the town, did not know where the object came from. It's definitely not an aircraft part. Magnets held near the rock are attracted to it. Meanwhile, NORAD spokesman said there was no known connection between the New Jersey object and the remains of a Russian rocket that launched a French space telescope last month. End of the quote. The Zetas wasted no time explaining that this was most certainly trash from the tail of Planet X. And I quote from Zeta Talk written January 6, 2007, on the live Godlike production chat. Are these incidences related? If it was space junk landing in Wyoming, then did a piece of this land in New Jersey, simultaneously looking like a meteor, and drop several days earlier in South Africa with great fanfare? The answer from NORAD is suspect in light of the coincidences, and with good reason. This is hardly re-entering space junk, a favorite excuse by the establishment to increase fireballs and meteor incidences. Who would challenge NORAD? They are in possession of the evidence and can substitute an item from their inventory if they wish, to make anyone challenging them look like a conspiracy theorist. This is the tale returning, turning toward the Earth increasingly as the North Pole of Planet X begins to point directly at the Earth. Red dust and red skies are also returning to the Earth, not seen since late 2003 when the tale last wafted past Earth. We have long predicted this time and the damage it would do to satellites and any space habitation man assumes is his birthright. What does the near future hold? This trend will increase, the excuses from NORAD more frantic, and the common man increasingly suspicious. Does space junk produce the red dust of legend? End of the quote from Zeta Talk. More evidence of a tale came during the same period in the form of complaints. People feeling dizzy, nauseous, women having problems with their periods coming too often, too soon. A thread posted on the popular Godlike production message board showed the extent of these complaints, quite out of the ordinary. A common theme was that the complainant went to the doctor for a full set of tests and was pronounced normal. And I quote, "Hospitals are reporting bunches of people checking in for vertigo. Can humans naturally sense the Earth's magnetic field like animals? Here's a poll. Have you been feeling more dizzy or vertigo lately? Yes, no, or only when I'm drinking?" And the response, "Yes, and can't sleep since the new year too. Been hearing lots of reports on this." And another, "I've been feeling that way too, like very dizzy all of a sudden and even forgetful of what's going on at the moment. I don't like it. Felt it this morning and last night." And another, "I get this from time to time. It's strange and makes me want to lay down somewhere. It's like something moved through me and knocked me off balance." And another, "After New Year's, I thought I got mono from one of the girls I kissed at a party. I was at work the next day and felt so shaky and dizzy I thought I was going to pass out. My shirt was soaked and I couldn't tell if it was hot or cold. I wasn't nauseated either, and I was fine once it passed. It's happened almost daily since that first bad spell, but hasn't been quite so bad." And another, "I too have experienced this sensation, and I'm not one to experience this kind of thing on the regular. I couldn't believe how it felt. I swear to God, it felt like the earth was moving. I thought it was an earthquake, but those things just don't happen that often in Toronto, Canada. It happened about 2 weeks ago, and I kind of put it out of my mind. I don't drink and I don't smoke anything." And another, "I can't sleep at all. I wake up after 2 hours and toss and turn, waking up every hour on the hour. I feel like a zombie, it's getting so bad. I thought it might be the full moon, but that's past now and I still can't sleep. I even took a double dose of sleeping pills and still couldn't sleep. Something is up and change is imminent." And another, "The first time it took me by surprise. I was standing outside talking with a friend when I felt a tug or a push and almost took a step to counterbalance it, but it was a different feeling than when you lose your balance. It was a whole body experience, hard to describe. Second time it happened was different than the first and felt almost disoriented for a moment, even though the thought crossed my mind that the earth had moved like 2 feet and I with it. Very strange indeed." And another, I casually mentioned this to a couple other co-workers that I had felt like I was going to pass out, and they both said they felt the same way. They described the same sensation I had experienced as more of a woozy or faint pass-out feeling than dizzy. And another, I'm an archaeologist and I'm working in a remote place in the middle of Argentina. I had to stop doing my research because I've been feeling exactly as you described. I went to the hospital, but nobody knew anything. And from another, I stayed with my mother-in-law for a few days after Christmas. She lives by the sea in Wales. We all had the whirlies while we were there. When I asked her about it, she said she'd heard a few people who lived there say they were feeling dizzy, including herself. Just recently, a friend of mine started experiencing vertigo. She went to the doctors, thinking it was an ear infection. Nope, nada. We went to the movies, and she got dizzy going up the stairs. And from another, major vertigo out of nowhere, lasted about a minute. I'm not sick or coming down with anything, feel fine now, but it was very strange how it hit out of the blue. And from another, I live near the ocean in Delaware. I've been having off-balance feeling for more than a few months. They're starting to happen every day now, very unnerving. Yes, it's behind the third eye and numbs my face. And from another, I actually went to the hospital for this about 2 weeks ago. I basically felt, as far as balance, that I was walking around drunk. That's how off balance I was. When I went to the hospital, they had no clue what it was. They took blood and checked my brain. Nothing. Vertigo is caused by an imbalance in the inner ear, and they said it was fine. They had me follow up with a neurologist, and he told me he didn't know either. It lasted about a week, gradually getting better. And from another, I've been having dizziness and nausea for over 2 months now. Been to the doc for lots of tests and nothing really. I guess it's good there's nothing wrong, but the nausea is hard to deal with. And from another, yes, for weeks now, I'm extremely dizzy. And added to that is the fact that my memory is being affected. I'll need a simple item, walk to the next room and totally forget what it was. And from another, up until a few days ago, I had never experienced vertigo or dizziness. I didn't drink at all on New Year's Eve and take no drugs or medication. Starting a few nights ago, I had trouble falling asleep due to vertigo and slight nausea. I tried getting up from bed and promptly fell over. I had great trouble walking. And from another, my wife has been experiencing abnormalities with her monthly cycles as well, namely in that they are more frequent. She's had tests run and exams at her gynecologist, but everything is normal. And from another, I mentioned earlier that I'd been to the doc and had tests for vertigo, lightheadedness, and nausea, and that I've had ear tones and stomach pain. I noticed that a couple of you posted about female gynecological issues. I'm going through that too, very painful, and I'm having a test for that soon. This is so weird, I'm getting a little scared. End of the quotes made the first week of January. And the Zetas were asked to reply to that on the Godlike Production live chat, written on January 6, 2007. There is more than red dust and debris that comes with the tale, as there are unseen elements. During the passage, firestorms light and fall to earth, caused by petrochemicals forming over volcanoes. These petrochemicals are present in the tail of Planet X, having been gathered during the many passes through the asteroid belt in the past from planets that were pelted to pieces by the moons in the tail of Planet X. Earth herself was subject to just such an injury, thus the great hole in the Pacific, with all her land on one side of the globe. Oil is formed as the tail passes over the heat of volcanoes, and was not formed by rotting vegetation or animals, as asserted by human scientists at a loss to explain oil formation. They cannot recreate oil formation in the lab, so the theory does not stand. Add to the effects of the tail elements filtering through the atmosphere the magnetic swings. It is more than magnetic particles that are affected when the swings are violent as they've become. Humans or animals living under high voltage lines get cancer at a higher rate than otherwise, as well as other illnesses. It has been reported in the Colburn that women in Egypt were barren in the months before the last pole shift and aborted. So not the first time these symptoms have been noted. These matters will not go away, but will increase up to the pole shift when relief will at last be at hand. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So, earth farts, big quakes, meteors and fireballs and unexplained vertigo, all during the same time frame. Anything else? How about a UFO blitz? In Chicago, seen by so many United professionals at Chicago's O'Hare on November 1, 2006, that it can hardly be denied. And like the cover-up of the 8-plus Richter in Uzbekistan, this did not hit the news until almost 2 months had gone by. Need any more proof that there's a cover-up going on? And I quote, "In the sky, a bird, a plane, a UFO." This dated January 1, 2007. A flying saucer-like object hovered low over O'Hare International Airport for several minutes before bolting through thick clouds with such intense energy that it left an eerie hole in overcast skies, said some United Airlines employees who observed the phenomenon. Officials at United professed no knowledge of the November 7th event, which was reported to the airline by as many as a dozen of its own workers when the Tribune started asking questions recently. But the Federal Aviation Administration said its air traffic control tower at O'Hare did not receive a call from a United supervisor asking if controllers had spotted a mysterious elliptical-shaped craft sitting motionless over Concourse C of the United Terminal. And from another, FAA blames UFO report on weird weather. This dated January 2, 2007. Federal officials say it was probably just some weird weather phenomenon, but a group of United Airline employees swear they saw a mysterious, saucer-shaped craft hovering over O'Hare Airport in November. The workers, some of them pilots, said the object didn't have lights and hovered over an airport terminal before shooting up through the clouds. The Federal Aviation Administration acknowledged that a United supervisor had called the control tower at O'Hare, asking if anyone had spotted a spinning disc-shaped object. But the controller didn't see anything, and a preliminary check of radar found nothing out of the ordinary, FAA spokeswoman said. End of the quotes. This issue even hit CNN, where a Chicago reporter was interviewed. This was where a Chicago reporter, John Hilkovich, was interviewed by Beck, and I quote, Beck, "Now listen to this story, because this is an actual news story. This isn't like out of the Weekly World News. Chicago O'Hare's airport recently, the United Airlines employees claim they observed a flying saucer-like object hovering low over the terminal for several minutes before bolting through thick clouds with such ferocity that it actually left like a creepy hole in the clouds overhead. So what was it? A hoax? An alien attack? Were they observing us? Is this a military operation? What was it?" Joining us now is UFO historian Richard Dolan, and the guy who actually broke the story. His name is John Hilkovich. He's from Chicago and the Chicago Tribune. John, let me start with you. The UFO witnesses in Chicago, they're not nuts, are they? They're like really fine, upstanding people? Hilkovich. And they're very serious about this. They're all United Airline employees, ranging from pilots to supervisors, who heard chatter about this on the radio and raced out and saw it in the sky. Aircraft mechanics, veterans of O'Hare, who've been there for a long time, know how lights can play tricks in the sky, and they say this wasn't that. This was a real metallic gray object low in the sky, and they want answers. I went to the FAA, and they said they have no reports of this at all. I put in a Freedom of Information Act request, and then got back to me several days later, saying that, in reviewing the communication tapes at O'Hare, they did come across chatter involving this object, and that a United supervisor contacted the FAA manager in the tower and asked that they, the controllers, had seen anything unusual. Also, United Airlines told me that they had no reports of this, even though the fact is they were interviewing up to a dozen employees who reported observing this, asking them to write reports and draw pictures. After my story broke on Monday, United said, "Well, yes, we have been talking to these employees." Dolan, they're embarrassed to come out and say that, "Oh, you know, yes, well, we've got this UFO hanging out over O'Hare, and we don't know what to do about it." Let's face it, if you're running a large corporation or a bureaucracy, The last thing you want to do is stick your neck out on an issue like this. And so it doesn't surprise me at all. And in fact, this is, again, part of a long history. FAA, as well, has not always been forthcoming over many, many alleged cases. I mean, witnesses have seen these bizarre things for years and years, and it's very tough to get a straight answer out of a lot of government agencies or other corporate bodies. End of the quotes from the CNN interview. And in New York City, and I quote, "Happy New Year. I was watching the Fox Channel News Network. They were interviewing people after the New Year was rung in. One older gentleman made a comment about seeing UFOs coming toward him. Everyone seemed a bit confused by this, and the next host made light of it. I was so hoping there would be a good camera shot to the sky, but saw none." Was there a planned sighting for New Year's at this time, or was this guy seeing a terrestrial phenomenon related to the New Year festivities? I was really shocked to hear someone speak of UFOs on national television like that. I hope many others noticed the comment as well. And in Istanbul, this January 5th, 2007, people claim seeing a UFO in Istanbul. Mysterious lights seen in Istanbul skies have baffled people. Witnesses have claimed that the lights were coming from a UFO. People called news agencies and reported unidentified white lights flying in the sky. According to the eyewitness, the flying object was revolving around itself and blazing. End of the quote. And in France, a sudden decision to release information from government files. This dated January 2nd, 2007. Online archive of UFO sightings. Reportedly, the French Space Agency has decided to publish its archive of UFO sightings and other phenomena online. According to Jacques Arnould, an official at France's National Space Studies Center, the agency has been collecting statements and documents on UFOs for almost 30 years. This database of around 1,600 incidents would go live in late January or mid-February. Most likely, the whole lot of content on the UFO sightings archive will be made available on the website. End of the quote. The Zetas were asked to comment on how this sighting blitz might relate to the quickening in Earth changes. And they commented on January 6, 2007, UFOs in the news. These matters of disclosure and honesty in the media are not pressed forward so much by honest politicians and editors as by ourselves and our brethren, service to other extraterrestrials. We mentioned in 1995 at the start of Zeta Talk that sightings would be on the increase, held back only by the anxiety of man. As acceptance increased, sightings would increase, moving from individual or family sightings to mass sightings, moving from a lack of any documented evidence to unrefutable evidence. In the past, the establishment wanted to deny the alien presence for their own security and stature. Politicians and the church wanted mankind to cling to them as power figures, to look up and fear them, and were concerned about a loss of stature if the truth about the alien presence were known. Project Blue Book in the U.S., harassment of contactees, and suppression in the media followed. But this campaign has not worked. The public embraces the alien presence eagerly. What will happen to those in the establishment long suppressing the truth if undeniable sightings and perhaps landings with waving, smiling aliens occurs? Worse than a loss of stature, as the public will be certain that the establishment knew about the alien presence and attempted to keep this information to themselves. The supposed leadership the elite assumes they have over the common man will plummet. Thus, seeing they aren't being bypassed and the visitors are going directly to the people with great success, such incidents will be in the news, so the establishment can try to claim they too have only recently become aware of it. Dragged along in the dust as the thundering crowd rushes to embrace the alien presence. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought. those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.